Hey everyone, I'm Andrew Coates. I'm the host of the Live Free and Diet Hard podcast, and welcome to episode 307. So let's get right to it. Today, I have my friend Rachel Henley of Henley Fitness, and she's a UK-based online coach. And we're going to get into more about how successful she's been, especially through social media. So it's great to have you on the show. I know I had you on my other podcast, which I don't always talk about. That's now, we've shut that down, but it's good to have you on here, the big one.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I love being on the last podcast. It's a shame that shut down. It was a great podcast, but
Well, so for anybody who pays attention to any of my media, so for a couple of years, I had a group-based women's online strength program, and my partner in that program, Bailey Lau, she's thrived, she's done well, she's been traveling to conferences, but she's grown beyond it, and she's earned the right to go and build her own thing. So she really wanted to, do something that was entirely her own, and we were doing this podcast together with it. But what turned out is me taking over the women's group program actually made me in every corner of it versus splitting the duties. And I actually think it's working out so well this way. So my interest in it is rejuvenating. I really love it even more than ever versus kind of splitting the time and neither one of us fully owning it. So it's actually worked out great for both of us, but I could never have started it without her. So she's doing great. We don't do the old podcast anymore, but I mean, I'm doing so many things anyway that one of the biggest mistakes coaches make is just trying to do too much stuff. So right? We know about
yeah, I think I've learned that the hard way at least 5,000 times. You always kid yourself that you can do it as well. Like, I always pretend that I've learned from it and then go, oh, yeah, but I can do
Ooh.
that.
Well, we'll dig into that a little bit. So just for a little bit of context, your Instagram account has blown up at a rate, probably about what, the last year, year and a half, of very, very few people I've ever seen have seen this kind of growth and success. And we'll get into kind of why that worked. I mean, there are industry authorities. There are people that I have followed their stuff for a long time who've done well, and you blew past their. And again, we know that like impact is not singularly in Instagram followers. We know that it's not even close to a one-on-one relationship, but there is a reflection on how many people and lives you're able to touch, and especially getting in front of the everyday like enthusiast. The person we're trying to get involved in this stuff. So there are people who shit all over social media, but the reality is we are getting in front of more people, which is a way to affect more people positively and build a business. So let's start here. Okay. How has this changed your career? Right. Yeah, let's start there.
Oh gosh, a big question. But yeah, it has, I won't lie, it has certainly flipped it on its head. Like as you mentioned, it's like I don't think just having a following on its own changed it. But the fact that the people that I'm speaking to are all people that I would want to work with means that we get clients with like clients coming out of our ears, really, which is if you told me that 18 months ago that I would be struggling to deal with all the clients that are kind of trying to work with me, I would have laughed at you because I was like, it was quite a slow trek. I was quite all right before everything kind of blew up, but it was a case of I'll pick up a couple clients a month and it would be comfortable and it'd be fine. But it went from having around consistently around 30 online clients a month to, well, right now we have over 300 clients in the business. But we did, so I did a group launch. So I do both one-to-one coaching and group program. And for context, the last group program I launched 2 days ago and 245 spaces sold in 28 minutes, which is insanity. And it's like I couldn't keep up with like the like everything much. And people saying, oh, it sold out in 2 minutes because they were all crashed the site. So it had like two influx of the people thought it sold out in 2 minutes. I was like, no, it hasn't crashed. And then they went and sold it out a couple of minutes later. And yeah, I started launching that group program in August and we've slowly built it up. So as I've brought on more coaches, we have a greater capacity. So it started off around 100 people and then it went to like 150. And it's kind of like built up over since September. But each intake has sold out. So the first one sold out in, I think, 36 hours. And then it was 24 hours. And now the last three have sold out in under 4 hours. And it's like, and that's before it even gets to social media, that's sold on the email list. So I just kind of say, oh, you've got to go to the priority list. And then if you get there, you might get a space. And then it's like carnage. And I would never have expected that. And then, yeah, for like my one-to-one coaching, I'm pretty much full. And my coaches that work underneath me, they're getting full from either working with people that have gone through the group program and realize they need something just a little bit more detailed towards themselves, or just people that want to skip the group and they just don't want to deal with any people. They're like, no, I don't want to deal with any other people, just want to deal with my coach. And so they're starting to get yeah, a very decent client base who have just me marketing towards them, which is really fantastic. So yeah, it's at a place which I never thought I could kind of get it to. So me now going, okay, where can I grow it to? It's just like, it's just like, it hasn't really sunk in really, but yeah, it has really exploded the business side of things as well, which is great.
And I could see you on video. So I could see like this genuine, excited smile, right? It's like, how
am I here?
Authentically happy this makes you to get to be able to do this, right? So I love that. So you alluded to a few things. What did you need to do to capitalize on this social media growth? Because you talk about a team, you have three coaches, Ben and two other coaches. Ben, I love Ben, used to mentor Ben. And you've done that. What other kind of systems, anything else that you had to do to be able to go, okay, social media is skyrocketing. Inquiries are skyrocketing. I cannot fulfill this one-on-one. In order to not, because I've seen people in years past see skyrocketing social media, but completely fail to capitalize on capturing it.
Yeah. I think there's a few things to that I look back and go, I'm so glad I did it. And one of the main things was my, I know it's a bit of a, like an industry term, but my lead magnet of getting people onto the email list. So the lead magnet that I created was, it's a free training program, but I dressed it as how I speak online. So it's called Wiggle Your Bits, which I got my audience to name. And it's like, so the group program is called Blitz Your Bits. So Wiggle Your Bits, you do Wiggle Your Bits, the free one, and then you go into Blitz Your Bits. So it's kind of like, and if you watch any of my videos, it's all quite cheeky, a bit flirty. So it kind of works with like the language of how I speak. But yeah, with that, I've had over 90,000 people download either there's a home or a gym version, but all in all, I've had about 90,000 people download that. So I've currently got active subscribers around 70,000 people on my email list. Because obviously you get people get the freebie and off they go. But I have about 70,000 people on my email list and an open rate of around 50%. So that's speaking to people on my email list away from social media. And as I say, that's where all of my programs are sold. It means that I don't actually have to use social media to sell, which I think actually does help kind of create more authentic connection as well, because like now and then I'll just mention, oh, by the way, my program's coming up, but it's quite often the stuff that I'm sharing online is a little bit behind the scenes about my life, the funny videos that I like to share, or those, that kind of more personal things. So like, I think for me and my brand and how it works, that's been really, really effective. But yeah, I have a lot to thank for that free program. And as well, another thing is like, it's a good free program. It's actually like, I put a lot of time and care into it. It's one that it meets the beginner where the beginner's at. And it's because it's over 10 weeks. Each week they get like an email to take them through. So the first like 4 weeks is about building technique, building confidence, don't lift with your ego. And then the second half is like, right, we can probably try a little bit more intense training with some of these movements. Let's kind of go through that so you can learn what that's like. And obviously if it's a complete beginner, they probably never tracked their training before. So just doing that makes them feel good. And they can probably see some quite cool results. But just the way that it's structured, I've got some really, really good feedback around it. And I think because of that, I get people commenting like on my post still going, oh my god, I'm on like week 7 of your program and it's free and it's amazing. So they, I think they then just get that greater level of like trust with me, which is obviously what is fantastic, because I feel like they're in good hands with me. So it's nice that they trust me because they won't get tricked by anything else. But it's like it does create a bit of a deeper level to my content rather than it just be these videos are going viral. It's like so I created that lead magnet. I think when I was around 10,000 followers, I started to see it go, oh, there's been a few videos, and on TikTok it went up to like 100,000 like overnight, and I was like, oh, I don't, that feels like something's going to go on there. So I literally made it within a week. I was like, I'm not going to make any more videos just this week. I'm going to get this lead magnet sorted. And then as my content blew up, that's been there since January. So it's been the whole time followers have been coming in, there's been that organic kind of like, they just kind of go to there. So I think that has a massive impact on, I say, capitalizing things and building programs that work as well. Like the program, like the group program, it's a very detailed group program. They get a lot of variety of like training programs. They get really great value for their money. They get bespoke nutrition coaching. They get a check-in with a coach, which is written each week. So it's not as in-depth as like the one-to-one, but we get a retention rate of around 60% from program to program. And then on top of that, like people go to one-to-one. So the retention is actually a little bit higher than that. So it's like, so with that, when it comes to say selling out programs, it's a lot easier because we have that retention there in the first place and the reviews and the referrals as well. So when it all kind of feeds in together into one big empire, it's like, okay, this is why we're struggling to kind of keep up with demand, because because we're speaking to the people that we want to work with and creating an incredible community, either in my social media, either in the Wiggle Your Bits free program or in the group program or into the one-to-ones. And I think it's given it the bones to be able to not just spike and be like, oh, that wasn't very good and everyone's run away. They're like, oh, this is actually quite quality. Oh, she's funny and she can help me get results. Brilliant. And so it's kind of gone from there.
There's a lot of really smart stuff. So real quick, I'm not sure if you read these books, but I mean, the two books I'll throw out there that really big on lead magnets, really big on email lists, really big on launches. So one is the book Launch by Jeff Walker. He's kind of like the godfather of this stuff. And if you haven't read that one, where you learned this stuff came from Jeff, 100%, right? Everybody does it that way. If you read this book, you're like, holy shit, this is everything I do. And then $100 Million Leads by Alex Hormozi. He goes really hard into a lot of those things as well. So anybody who's listening to this and go like, wow, this is so amazing. It's smart. And I think this is really important. Like there's so probably coaches listening going, oh, I can never do that. It's like, I have context of you where your social media was before, right? We're going to get into kind of the difference between like all the us everyday coaches versus, you know, the skyrocketing social media. So you probably have a screaming imposter syndrome because this stuff has all happened kind of fast, right?
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah, I still have the same anxieties I had when I was posting 3 years ago. oh my God, who's gonna call me out for this post? Or oh God, what if people see this? But it's like I feel like I've become more numb to it. The more you do it, as you do anything. But yeah, certainly I always, because like, yeah, as you say, you've had the context, but 2 years ago, I think I had about 3,000 followers, and I didn't quite have my voice yet on social media. I was working through a lot of how to present myself online, and then I'd look at people that are blown up. I was like, I'll never be able to do that. I'll market myself something different. And so yeah, it's, if I told myself 2 years ago this is where I'll be like, absolutely not, you're having a laugh.
I'm a big believer. I joke about this all the time on my media. It's like, and in presentations, like the key to, you know, that kind of level of explosive growth is sexual innuendos, self-deprecating humor, and basically a British accent.
Oh, 100%. 50% of my following is from the States, and I don't think that's anything to do with it. It's talking about lifting.
We, like, Canadian here, but like, I mean, so North Americans, we just love those kind of accents, right? It's just, there's something about it that pops with it. Like, there's a handful of accounts. There's my buddy, I'll come back to that. Obviously, James Smith is a really good example. He's kind of like the OG. And then like Ben Mudge is great. You know, Ireland, right? So Ben doesn't do the same sort of thing. And there's a couple other accounts. I just really want to make sure I don't fuck this up. Hold on a second. What is his business name? Looking for him. I can't find him.
There was Josh Taylor's blown up recently.
Josh Taylor. That's exactly who I was going for. Yeah, I really like brilliant. Josh a lot. Yeah, so, because really he is, like, whoa, his is really grown. Even just like looking at him again. And he has been Mudge's partner in this stuff. Yeah. So that just seems to work, right? So if you have a deadpan North American accent, I think we're screwed. That's why
you Irish. Yeah, Irish and UK is the fashionable ones at the moment.
Apparently. And I think Australians can probably do well too. Jack Hallows is another one who does really well.
Yeah, and have you followed much of Sean Casey?
I'm familiar with, but I haven't. See, when I hear the name Sean Casey, like, this will go over everybody's head. There was a now retired Cincinnati Reds first baseman in Major League Baseball named Sean Casey. So that's what I associate with Sean Casey, right? It's like there's a Jay Cutler. Anybody in the bodybuilding world thinks about, like, oh, there's Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler, but there was actually an NFL quarterback, I think he was for the Bears, named Jay Cutler as well. So it depends on which world you're kind of associated with. One is much more famous than the other, and then they flip, you know, whether you're a football fan or if you're in fitness, right? It's like, who the fuck is this bodybuilding dude, right? There's Arnold and that's it. All right, so what do you lose when you have this kind of social media growth? You know, the way that you'd interact with friends and people interact with you, and you had 3,000 followers. And now you're on the doorstep of 500,000, right? And that's Instagram. What are you at TikTok? Because I don't even pay attention to TikTok.
That kind of stagnated. It's around 180 or something around there. But yeah, I kind of stopped posting on TikTok a little bit. I used it to experiment to learn how to grow on Instagram, and then it grew on Instagram, and then I was quite bad at keeping up with TikTok.
That's just the amount of time it takes to probably even do it, given how well you've done. So what's changed? What have you lost? What are the downsides?
I would say a downside is I struggle to switch off more than I've ever struggled to switch off. With I feel like I've got always like about 74 tabs open. Of you have the social media tab where you have hundreds of DMs and comments, and you want to keep up with that to keep you like, well, to keep up with those things. And obviously you have your clients that you're working with, and like I feel like I can't take on as many like one-to-one coaching clients on anymore, because I feel like when I go through that, I'm like, oh God, I need a bit of rest. But I was like, but I can't rest. I've got because I've got to look after my coaches. I've got to look after the group program. I've got to produce more content. And it's like I think whenever whatever stage you're at as a coach, you have to wear different lots of different hats anyway. But I feel those hats are a lot heavier now. And I feel like yeah, there's this that element of like I'm always feeling that I'm having to stay switched on. And so yeah, I'd say that is the main thing I feel. Like I guess I've lost or what's changed in a I would say in a negative way. But I'd say to be honest, most of it has been quite positive. Like my friends and family treat me exactly the same. They'd maybe have say a few jokes like all the paparazzi is gonna be here. Oh like I'll probably get a few snarky comments, but we're British, so we can obviously deal with that. but yeah, no, I don't feel like it's put much strain on certain areas of life. I think it's just adapting to the greater weight workload has been something that I've had to adapt to. But I think, yeah, humans, you adapt under stress, don't you, a bit? So, yeah.
Something that's come up a bunch recently, and I may even do a talk on this particular topic. I got to book this for my buddy Nick Lamb and his Recovery and Sleep Summit. But we sometimes hear very tenured, very successful, established coaches and mentors who talk about boundaries, right? And they talk about, I think, getting clear on your values, really, really good. But you hear this talk about boundaries, and sometimes they're talking about the importance of it, which we'll get into that context, or sometimes they just are really good at illustrating what their boundaries are. They're not necessarily preaching it that other people, new coaches have to do this, but I think that sometimes there's something missed in this. There's a bit of survivorship bias or connecting the dots backwards. And it would be a mistake for a young emerging coach to look at these people and go, okay, the key to me being successful, like I think Molly Galbraith is a wonderful example because she doesn't preach it at anybody, but she's also clear about how she has boundaries. Molly is someone who worked hard and did the grind and built for a very, very long time. And you know, if you ever get to see her present live, she'll tell her story. It's really cool, right? She's actually been a guest on the podcast. So if anybody wants to hear it, you got to go back a little bit, but you'll find Molly. She's out. But Molly now is very hard to get access to, right? She's very focused on her mission. She's got a great team around her. She's got great systems, but she didn't start out that way. And she's not where she is because of the teams and the systems. That stuff materialized later when she needed to establish those boundaries to be able to then direct her time on two things that mattered: her highest leverage leadership creation tasks, managing people, and her personal like boundaries around life. She's earned that right. I think a lot of coaches think, especially younger generation, because I'm a little older, I'm Gen X, but get the iGeds, they're thinking, oh, you know, like work-life balance is like, that's not a fucking thing if you really want to be serious in this business. But what I suspect for you is you're going to tip over an edge where you're going to have to get more serious about, okay, what can I do? What can I do? What are going to be my boundaries? So that way I can actually make this work, put my time into highest level, high leverage behaviors, so that way you are of service to people, but you don't actually burn the fuck out. So thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely something that I'm conscious of as I'm moving forward. So like one thing is that I have like whittled down my one-to-one coaching service to be yeah something that like I've actually just taken on probably my last one-to-one coaching client probably the year now. And I'll keep that at like a much lower rate so that I have ideally really like a whole additional day, which you can get a lot done in a day, to kind of go towards like yeah as I say managing my coaches, managing the group program, making sure those things go on. And I've started to outsource a few things, so like copywriting. I am someone that I although I've worked really hard to be a better copywriter and I've put so much graft into that, I am someone by heart who is like, well, I'm dyslexic. I've always struggled with writing. It takes a lot of time and effort and battery for me to sit down and write. and as much as I tried that, it's still been a bit of the case. And I'll still have elements that will be my own, but there's certain things, certain tasks, which I can kind of outsource with that. And something that I've outsourced with one of my coaches. So as you say, Ben, the legend, if he's watching this, hello, Ben. He will be listening to this, I'm sure. Yeah, I've recently outsourced some of like the more admin tasks around like onboarding the group coaching, like uploading things like the live calls. Like, so there's little tasks that you think will take 5 minutes, but end up taking 20 because, oh, shit, I've got to edit that. I've got to... And it's like those sort of things, like that, I say that, I say someone else can kind of do. I have started to outsource that, but I do feel that little bit of preciousness around it of like, oh, but what bit should I kind of outsource and what bit shouldn't? And there might be a case of I outsource it and go, oh, that was a bad idea, and kind of bring it back. But yeah, I've certainly got getting to the point now where it's like, okay, well, if we're still sending out programs at the rate that we are, it's probably looking like that we're going to have to bring in a few more coaches. And like the ones that I really wanted to bring in, they're now here. So it's like, okay, so where do I find the next ones? And those sorts of things of people that I know that I trust and those sorts of things. So yeah, I think it is certainly something that I can feel my boundaries starting to change from what they were a year or so ago. And I'm sure they'll change in a year's time. But yeah, it can be quite hard to figure out, like, because there's no blueprint to it, I don't think. Well, not that I'm aware of. It's like, yeah.
Not at all. I mean, something that I want to say earlier, anybody listening, you at several points were very clear on numbers, right? Like maybe key performance metrics, but you know your numbers. You immediately jump to, here's my open rates, which 50% open rate on email is excellent, right? You talked about your churn rate on the program. Like the fact that you're like in those kind of things, those business metrics is really smart. And most personal trainers do not even think in those terms. So I wanted to highlight that. Now, let's one more part of the previous line of questions. I think a lot of coaches crave this kind of social media following because there's a craving for status. That's an innate human desire. I don't like it as a lens to see the world through, but honestly, it's a pattern recognition machine that humans are wired to look through. But what would they not be prepared for? Like, you know, it's the sort of thing, like I've even said numerous times, if you could give me 1 million real engaged followers tomorrow. I mean, there's a few things with that. First of all, it's a ridiculous, you know, thought experiment, but nor would I have the time to ramp up some of the things I would need to be able to deal with that. But if you could give me 1 million real social media followers tomorrow who are interested in and engaged in what I was doing, I would be like, hell no, I don't want to deal with that. If something along those lines happens to grow over time, organically, okay, we'll see where it goes. But for me, that would be too much. So what would you warn people about? Careful what they wish for.
Yeah. I was like, one thing would probably be the trolls, whether you can handle those. Like that is a very small amount. But like on each post, I'll probably have a few comments where if I didn't have thick skin, I could lose a day to being very upset. Like, luckily I just treat it with a bit of banter. I'm not too, I don't get too bogged down with it, which has been a nice surprise. I thought I might get, oh my God, they said something. Oh my God, why are they being mean? But like, I think when you get exposed to it more, you're like, okay, it is what it is. But like having that thick skin, like you are under that lens. And whenever you're posting stuff, there is that even more of a thought of like, oh crap, okay, yeah, 100,000 people is going to see this, which is or more than that, whenever you're kind of putting things out. And that, it does play on your brain a bit. Like, yeah, it plays on my brain a bit. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, what if I walk down the street and someone knows me? That's happened a few times, which has been really weird. Of like, that was something that nothing ever prepared me for. I was in New Zealand, so the other side of the world to me. And I was walking down the street in the city there, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're Henley Fitness on Instagram. And I was like, who are you? Why are you here? Like, do you know where I'm staying? Like, it was a little bit, it was really cool, but it's also a little bit like, oh, that's a bit odd. And so I think that not sure how much of a negative that is, but there is like definitely an adjustment with that. But I think it's like, I'll say, like, be prepared to have probably a strong boundary with your phone is one thing that I have implemented. Of like, I have all notifications on Instagram turned off apart from certain contacts. That has got to be. I cannot look at the likes come in. I cannot look at comments. I cannot look. I have set times of the day where I'll go have a look at it. So if you are someone that likes to like doom scroll, I think it would be awful. I'm not sure where I would say there to. Yeah, don't know what you wish for. I think there's a few things, but I was still saying that it's still positive, but yeah.
Good, good, good. I mean, that stuff, like getting recognized on the street probably would feel kind of cool too, as long as you feel safe, right?
Yeah,
I guess
you've got an element of cool.
it's different for me, 6'2", 250 pounds versus like, you know, a woman, right? So it's kind of a little bit different, especially depending on who's
oh,
coming.
You have to get the creepy dudes comments. That's
Oof.
Always yeah.
Yeah,
That,
I bet
that,
you, I bet you get
yeah.
some weird stuff there. Sorry,
Oh
losing
yeah,
my voice.
get some proper weird stuff on that. Again, funny, but it's like, but if I saw you in real life, I would be terrified.
Yikes. All right,
Yeah.
let's take this a little bit further. So we know, okay, so there's a subsection of coaches that will piss and moan and gripe and cry and complain about influencers, and they just have this negative, awful attitude about social media, and it's just sour, sour grapes. That's all it is. It's bitterness, it's resentfulness. And I mean, I know coaches like this. There's not many, but there's a few. They've been doing this a long time. Sometimes they're not always, but sometimes they're a little bit more rooted in the strength and conditioning world, which the problem with that is that world sort of like tells them not to stand out, not to seek attention. You know, you're supposed to put your head down, just coach people. It's not about that. And so then they feel they're usually good coaches. They're usually very experienced coaches, but they feel entitled to the status, the acclaim, the recognition, and the business that they think that, you know, that the influencers on social media are getting. And they tend to conflate someone like you, who is evidence-based, who is caring, who is genuine, versus some of these unqualified Muppets that just walk through grocery aisles saying that spinach and oatmeal are bad for you, right? And they lump everybody together. And I just tune them out, because it's like, if you're not willing to go out and do something to get that attention, like, here's how I always put it. You could always tell the ones, because they're the ones who are like, oh, we need more regulation, right? And there are people listening who probably think that, but I want to reframe this a little bit. It's like, okay, it's never going to happen. All of the governing bodies of all of the certifications are not going to agree upon what is the standard of whatever. There's too many of them. Two, most of the people who you're frustrated by are not even certified or part of your regulatory body. And then you think, okay, well, we want this all to be legislated away. Guess what? All of the countries in the world are not going to agree upon all this stuff and legislate what people say. In fact, I don't want to live in a world that's like George Orwell, 1984. That's very dystopian to me. So I will take the bad with the good on this one. So it's not going to happen. So you're just bitching and moaning. And even if it did, even in the hypothetical that this happened, all the people that you think are going to stop listening to the influencers are not all of a sudden going to beat a path to your door, because they're not going to know who the fuck you are. And they're going to go, oh my God, you're a really qualified, experienced coach. I want to work with you. So that's what they kind of want to happen. And it's absurd. It's ridiculous. So what's the alternative? Okay, embrace some type of media, whether it's long form, short form, or whatever, and get yourself out there so that way you're attracted to people you want to help. And you know what? These people who gripe about this are also very unhappy, because they're stressed out and miserable all the time about all the shit they can't control. And it's like, I cannot lose sleep and have stressed anxiety about shit beyond my control. And I think that's most of our society, is like really upset and angry all of the time on social media about shit, whether it's politics or social crap or whatever, right? Like, no, I'm focused on the people in my world, the people I could positively impact. And that's why people like you and me are where we are. So there's that. Now let's go back to my original point. So I think people do look at numbers and size of social media following and attribute status, they attribute authority, they attribute celebrity, they attribute success. Now, are people like you and me, and again, your social media now is about 3 times the size of mine, which is super cool and going to grow faster, but are we really that different from the other experienced coaches who, like, one-on-one with their client in front of them, they do a great job, they care, but they just never lean into social media? Are we really different?
No. No, I wouldn't say so. I say it's another skill set that has been developed on top of it, in terms of like, I would say now I'm a better coach than I was 2 years ago, but I think any coach will say that they get better as they kind of go. And I think the way that I would say a social media following might make you a better coach is because, like, I'm now coaching or looking over a lot more people. So what's one way to sharpen up a skill set? Working with as many people as possible. And like I said, I still look after a big chunk of my group coaching, so I'm talking to like 100 clients a week on that. But like, when you do that, you do see more than when I was working with, say, 10 clients per on check-ins per week. So I think that there's like a very small element there, but am I more qualified? No. Do I know more science? Definitely not, than a lot of coaches that don't have as big a following as I do, I think. But I think, like, yeah, it's the, I say, the thing that, like, both of us, I guess, have done is, as I say, invest that time and that skill set in, okay, so how do you communicate that to a different, like, to the generalized population, and talk to more people that way. And yes, I don't think that makes me better than another coach. I think it just means that I have a different skill set as part of my job, which has meant that more people come into my world. And yeah, I agree with a lot of the stuff that you were saying there, of like, social media can be a super negative place, but I think it's so easy then to stand out as positive. I think that's what's grown mine, is I don't do any call out. I used to do a few call out posts, but you're similar. I remember be talking about this a few weeks ago, of like, personally for me, I don't like absorbing that content that much, because it is, oh gosh, another person, it's more negativity, and it's like that, it turns into a bit of a pull each other's hair kind of fight. And I'd rather just be like, yeah, but here's how you do a split squat with a few dirty jokes. And I think people, like, I get lots of people that come to my page to go, oh, it's refreshing, it's fresh air, because you're not taking it too seriously, you are having it for fun. It's like, yeah, it is based in evidence, but as well, and I have more fun creating it, because I don't feel like, oh my god, who's going to argue with me in the comments? I never have arguments in the comments. It's not what I want to be there for. We just kind of like, yeah, just kind of make fitness accessible and fun. And as I say, we have, it's more of a, I guess, a positive page, not like with like those motivational quotes of just be positive, but it's yeah, it's the way that I present myself. I think it does attract that kind of vibe of like, it's not, oh, it's all doom and gloom on social media, oh, we hate everyone that sells Herbalife. It's like, we might do underlyingly, but we're not going to talk about it, we're just going to go in the gym and lift. Like, that's all, that doesn't need to be that deep. And I mean, that I really enjoy making content when I've kind of moved further towards, like, say, that positive impact, rather than pointing out everything that's wrong in the world. Because yeah, it can feel like a losing battle. I don't know if it is, but yeah, for me it felt like it could have been.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the reasons why I highlight you and a handful of the other accounts we talked about earlier, like Josh and Jack, Josh Taylor and Jack Allos, where I think you guys have stayed positive. You don't, like, listen, there's a bunch of people who will, like, for lack of a better word, call out other rubbish on social media. And quite frankly, when it's like verifiable rubbish by verifiable charlatans, fine, like, all good. Like, when Goob is going after child predators and that other crap, like, full send, like, nuke him. Every once in a while Goob will do something, like, he's usually really good, and he'll like go at something, I'm just like, I'm gonna ignore that one. I don't even care. I'm not even gonna get seen liking on that post, because I don't give two shits about it. But like, most of the stuff he's doing, it's like, okay, cool, like wreck that person, they're a bad person, right? But most of the rest of it, honestly, like, you get strength coaches who are like arguing over like fairly mundane shit, and I find that, like, I just don't really love that sort of stuff. Now, there are some really smart evidence-based people who I learn a lot of stuff from, but then some of them take it a bit far. And what tends to happen is you see these dog piles, so these bullies who like to pile onto this crap, but then go at it. The tribe goes after the person getting called out. Now, again, if it's Goob and that tribe piling on, fuck it, hey, all good. Like, you got a sex offender getting nuked, disappears from social media, ends up in jail, good. That's a good outcome. But if you got like straight coaches who just have different interpretations of stuff, or you get some people who are like, maybe a little bit archaic in their beliefs, and they haven't come around to what the new research is saying, do I really care that much about this stuff? Not really. I'm there to learn. Like, it my attitudes have shifted over time, so I've still gotten positives from that stuff. But it's like, I also just can't live in that space. And like, I got buddies who, they'll do this stuff. This is funny. I won't say his name, but he would call out and meme what other like coaches were doing that he didn't feel were evidence-based. Like, I'd look at this stuff and I'm like, okay, he's usually right most of the time. And then he could start going after some powerlifter over some breathing thing. And I guess like that powerlifter, I think, fought back, and some of his tribe were some pretty, pretty nasty buggers. You got like neo-Nazi flags in the background of like gyms in the videos of some of the people coming and making death threats at my buddy who did the first call out. And all of a sudden he's like, okay, this isn't fun anymore, and the stakes are raised a little bit here. So all of a sudden I think he decided, all right, this shit is not worth it. But that shit can happen on social media. You get some really nasty characters out there. So it's the old adage, like, it's a lot of people haven't ever just been like punched in the face before, over, like, you don't learn this lesson as a kid. You, like, you run your mouth to someone in person and you get punched in the face for it, right? I grew up in that kind of world. So a lot of people get real brave on the internet, and then they think, oh, it's all good until something nasty happens. And I'm not advocating for that either, but it's just funny to see that sometimes that kind of stuff will backfire and bring a lot of stress on you. You look at something like Lane Norton. I love Lane. I've been following Lane, learning from him for years. He puts out a ton of valuable information. And Lane is one of those rare people that can kind of handle that level of bombast. But you can tell if you follow Lane enough, you can tell it. He's got a high tolerance for it, but sometimes he gets pushed over the edge and his nervous system has got to be like red line sympathetic all of the fucking time, right? I'm sure that's the state he's constantly in. I can't imagine living like that.
Yeah, like I absolutely like adore his content, and I've followed him for an awful long time as well. But I was like, I could never. Glad it's him. It's like that is what, it's like, yeah, you go, Lane. I'm just gonna talk about bicep curls and put a joke in it. Like, yeah.
The thing about Lane too is, and again, it passes my threshold of the people he's going after are verifiable charlatans. Right. And that's my threshold. These arguments over differences, interpretation stuff, I could care less about. Verifiable charlatans, full send, wreck them, don't give a shit. It's just not going to be me.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else we got for you? If someone wanted, like really genuinely wanted to build a social media following, have the kind of impact that you're having, what are some of the big fundamentals? What are some of the things that you lean into, started with? I mean, obviously they can't really replicate a good British accent unless they're England, sorry. Or again, like Northern Ireland, you know, splitting hairs here. If you have that sort of type of accent, I'm sure there's got to be someone out there with a really good Scottish accent who's doing this. No one's hit my radar yet.
There must be. Scottish accent is beautiful. So, yeah.
It's like part of Sean Connery's appeal. You get Connery playing American historical characters with a Scottish accent, like in The Untouchables, and winning an Oscar for it, right? People didn't give a shit. He's Sean Connery. So what, besides the accent, should they start with?
I would say one of the most important things is knowing who you're speaking to. So for me, I'm speaking to like general populations that are nervous to get into the gym. And that goes more than just like, and something that I guess learned on reflection of, like, I think it's more than just going, oh, they're nervous in the gym, so I will talk about being nervous in the gym. It's like, well, if they're nervous in the gym, they probably, like, where they spend their time on social media, probably looking at things that entertain them, things that make them laugh, things that aren't that, let's say, that aren't that deep or call out. And like, for me, a call out thing when they're trying to get into the gym, that probably just makes it feel more intimidating. So for me, my whole goal of my content was to make the gym feel less intimidating for those people. And so I think for me, knowing that who's, so whenever I'm recording content, I'm thinking of that person and how I could make, so the cues that I use, for example, so a lot of my content is talking through form videos, but it's not going, oh, I'm going to rotate 90 degrees here and make sure I'm my hip is flexing here, and like, or using like terminology, I will be like, stick your butt there, imagine this. It's something that's a little bit more to their language of what they would understand. So I think it's something, yeah, I would say it's really important is to, I know it's an industry term, it's like, know your niche. But I think with like knowing, like, my niche isn't like a busy mom of two with who's time pressed. It's not like a specific person. It's like, well, they're a vibe of person. They're someone that is a little bit anxious. They like to have a laugh there, because it's someone, like, if I went to the pub with someone, it would be to have a laugh. So it's like that kind of thing. And and not too confident in the gym and things. So I think, like, yeah, knowing your niche is really, really important. And then I would say then looking at the type of content, obviously, that there's so many different types of content that work, but I think something that I know a lot of coaches do, and it's definitely something that I did when I was struggling to grow, was going, oh, that's working with that person, I'll try and copy that. Oh, that's working with that person, so I'll try and copy that. And maybe not like word for word, but like just that style. And I think it's like not necessarily the worst thing in the world to have influence from other coaches and things, but like for me, I found like I really struggled to find my voice. And it's when I kind of stopped like looking at what other coaches were doing, and I was like, well, what can I kind of do, that I started to actually, I think, speak more authentically me. And I actually now see people copy my style, which is like quite funny, but like you'll see it, but like it's, yep, like, yeah, it is something that I think really, really helped me just to kind of cut out the noise a little bit. I had a little bit of time where I was just like, let's just go into like absorbing less and creating more. And that's what really helped me find my voice, for sure. Like I'll put a lot down to that. And then, yeah, I think then beyond that, like for me, I figured it was like, yeah, talking in reels and kind of going through that, which was the content that worked really, really well for me. And one of the, again, another thing that I would say is really, really important is to not ignore your analytics on your social media. So you mentioned there, I like numbers of like, I know where my retention rate's at, I know where my email list is at and those sorts of things. But something that I would look back on is that at the end of the week, I would kind of go through all the content that I posted. And I was like, how much view time did it get? Where did people drop off? Where were people getting bored? And I think, okay, why did they get bored? And quite often it'll be things like, I'll watch it and I watched it back and be like, oh, I kind of waffled there, or I spoke about that twice, or I'm bored. I'm watching it back and I'm bored, or like I wouldn't consume this. And it's like from that, I started to learn to edit a lot more and cut out a lot more crap. So when I started repeating, if I was ahhing, if there was like unneeded breaks, I would chop that. I would change things and things just to make it a bit more interesting and a bit more dynamic. Obviously, the content's still got to be coherent and make sense to what I want to talk to. But it was like watching that back and figuring out, okay, I can see why that didn't work. Let's try it again and change it and see if that works better. And then, yeah, then the stuff that does work, then you can look at, okay, why does that work? So the ones that have posts that have gone viral, I go, oh, okay, I can see where it's like, I was really, really sharp with like my hooks to get people to watch my content. That was quite a good one. Actually, I laughed watching that back. I quite enjoyed that. And then like the content's like, oh, like quite often it's stuff that I know people struggle with. So things like pull-ups, whenever I do a pull-up video, that does really well. Whenever I do a Romanian deadlift, that does really well because everyone struggles with Romanian deadlifts. And lateral raises, another one. Everyone feels weak in lateral raises. So I put play on that every time. And it's like, whenever I do those videos, it's quite often the same topics that go viral. But it's the same topics that people struggle with in real life. So it kind of all, I guess, ties in together of like knowing your niche and who you're speaking to, doing it in a language they will enjoy. And I guess like looking at analytics really helps you kind of figure that out, and then double down on the stuff that works, figure out the stuff that didn't work so well, but try and rework it to make it closer to that. And yeah, not every video is going to bang, but that's fine. It's like, you, as long as you're learning from it, I think that's what I found really helped me.
The way you describe niche, I really love it, because you did indicate that, you know, you're not trying to be so darn narrow. I think a lot of people, when they hear the word niche, or when coaches are saying, hey, you got to like niche down, I think most people's perception is that it's very, very narrow. I think that that can work for some people, but I think most coaches in this general space, just clarity on, as you said, people who, the number of people who are like a bit unsure trying to get in the gym, that's a massive group of people, right? It's a niche, but it's a really broad one. And you serve it well. Anybody who's listening really does need to go and follow you, check out what your content's like, because then they're going to see, like, get a clear picture of what we're talking about. It's going to be really helpful for people. Like, I think a lot of people are going to watch and be like, I could never do this. Fair. Okay. But some people are going to watch this and go, all right, this actually is pretty fun. I'm learning some stuff. Like, I've used your social media as an example for video-based stuff in presentations on social media.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I've had you up in slides at conferences. So anybody who's listening to this, who's seen, you know, me do talks and conferences, that they may have noticed that you were in my presentations. I throw a lot of shit in there. So that's, just get clear on that, because I think a lot of people take the advice of niching down too early. I think I'm actually a big believer that your niche finds you. I think you have to gain a broader level of experience. And then along the way, you realize, wait a second, I really like working with this population. This population gravitates to my messaging and my media. It's authentic. There's a fit. Cool. Go for it right there. Okay. And that may be a little narrower, but I think you've obviously hit on one that's quite broad, but you're still serving it really well and the results show. So that's cool. So where can people find you on your social media to go and check out what we've been talking about?
So you'll be able to find me on Henley Fitness. And I will just say, on the tag on what you've just said there, I recommend, if you've got the time, go back to where my content was 18 months ago. And if you think you can't do it, look at my first few videos. They were crap. And you'll be able to go, oh, if that's where she started. Like, it's, if you look at where I started and where I've grown to, it's like the videos have got better. It's like, you don't start at the video that I posted the last week. That wasn't what my content wasn't that good. That wasn't that slick 16, 18 months ago. So go find me on Henley Fitness. Stalk me if you want to have the confidence that if you're starting out that you'll be able to do it, because yeah, I couldn't when I started.
Something really good in there. Like, people are afraid to put up something for fear of being embarrassed, or for fear of like no one even noticing it. Okay, cool. If no one notices it, then you get the reps in. You're going to practice it and learn from it. Now there's no new follower that comes in and goes, oh my God, her videos are fun. This is great. I love this. And then they scroll and they scroll and they scroll. Like, yours is the sort of stuff that people are going to like start scrolling and they're going to get like down the rabbit hole a bit. They're going to enjoy it. But no one's going to go back to those earliest videos and go, wait a second. These suck. I'm unfollowing. I don't want to coach. Like, no one thinks that way.
Literally.
If they do, fuck them. Get rid of them.
Like, you don't want to blow up and still, and like, from one video and all the rest of your videos are rubbish because you go, oh my god, all these people are watching it. Maybe like, or like, yeah, because like, I did actually have a video that blew up years ago when it was like for a trending sound, and it's completely to the wrong niche and it was completely to the wrong thing, and then it was like, oh, these followers are not people that actually want on my page. So it's one of those of like, is they get the reps in when you're like, when you haven't got the audience, like the only person to see it is your mum, and they're going to support you anyway. So like, like they just be like, oh bless, she's trying, but in a year's time, it's going to break the bones probably of being able to make good content. You can't make good content without the bad stuff before. And I wish I told myself that and remind myself like, you will get there in the end.
It's been fun to watch you doing so well. You know, I reference you a lot. I send your account to a lot of people as an example of how to do this really well. So I don't tell you every time, obviously, I just keep funneling people your way. So it's actually been really good to have you on here. It's quite overdue. Everybody, please go check out what Rachel's doing, because I love the merger of just how well you've been doing things, how smart and savvy you've been about the business side of stuff, and yet how you're still the same person, you're still very down to earth, and you know, you still got that good dose of imposter syndrome that keeps you grounded. So you're one of the good ones. It shows through your media. Guys, go check her out, please. And for everybody listening, yes, I have been inconsistent with getting a podcast out every week. I've literally been just drowning in everything I've been juggling. My locker at a gym I attend was robbed this past week. So I've had to go police reports and, you know, cancel cards, and I have to get all of these, you know, payments that come out of this one credit card reestablished, and like really crappy situation. They were able to open my lock, they left 20s and fives. They took like hundreds and they took my credit cards, left my ID. Thank God, that would have been way worse, but I still had to go like contact the credit bureaus and like put a fraud alert on it just in case they did decide to do something, took a screenshot or whatever. So there's this. Going to soon be ready to announce the Evolve Strength Business Coaching Conference for 2024. So that's going to be very, very soon, putting that together. There's a whole lot of stuff, and I'm full-time in-person coaching still. So yes, I will keep getting episodes. I apologize for being a little inconsistent, but in the meantime, put this in the hands of someone in your world who you think would really benefit from it and would enjoy it. It helps me grow this. And thank you for coming on. And I appreciate you guys. I'll see you soon.